Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our epistle reading, we hear these words, "Baptism now saves you." How can baptism save? After all, it's just water applied and some words spoken. It doesn't seem that this could save a person from sin and death and the devil and from everlasting death. How could it be that here in our epistle reading, it says baptism now saves? And in fact, some whom I've read will say, oh no, this doesn't actually save. We can't take these words literally. But they will say that instead we need to say that this is symbolic. Baptism is a symbol of us being saved, a symbol of us going from the old life to a new life with a new ethic. Well, if that is the case, then baptism is really your work, something you are saying that you are doing after you've already had some kind of a conversion experience inside of you, after you've already decided that you're going to go from an old life to a new life. Then you make a commitment before God and other people by being baptized and saying, I make my commitment to God. I make my commitment to the church. But here, it says in the epistle reading, baptism now saves. So that means that there is some other power at work here, outside of you. Something else is saving you. Something else is coming to you. Not you. It is not, baptism is not your work. It is God's work. God is coming through baptism and is saving you, is rescuing you. Baptism now saves you. But how, again, can it be that water does such great things? How can it be that when we see people who have been baptized falling away from Christ as they stop going to church, as they explicitly reject the Christian faith, as they continue willfully and knowingly to continue in sins, how can it be then that we say baptism saves? It doesn't look like it worked in those cases. How can we still trust and believe the words of Scripture that say baptism now saves? Well, again, we have to understand what baptism is and does, and that it is still God's work, even when we see people falling away. That falling away comes from the devil, the world, and the sinful nature that are warring against the new life that one has in Christ. And yes, a person indeed who has been baptized and has been given new life can fall away. See the parable of the sower. But in order to understand then how it is that baptism can actually give new life to people, that God actually works through it to give new life, we should go to the example that our epistle reading provides, and that is the flood. St. Peter in our epistle reading points us back to the flood where people were saved through water, while the unbelieving world was condemned in the flood. So let's go back to that event and understand what happened and understand how baptism then parallels that or corresponds to it, as our epistle reading says. Back at the time of the flood in Genesis chapter 6, we hear these words. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. God was not pleased. He is even sorry that he made man, because man's intentions are evil from the heart. Man is not basically good. Man is born sinful. He is born with original sin. He is born turned away from God. Thus, we see that in spite of this, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, it says later in Genesis chapter 6. And God then warned Noah, who found favor in his eyes, of the coming judgment that he was bringing through water, and told him to build an ark. And so Noah worked to build this enormous boat. probably at the expense of his reputation with many of his neighbors and friends, who probably laughed at him and mocked him and scoffed him for building this giant boat and saying that there was going to be this judgment that was coming upon the earth. But yet he built it. He trusted in the words of God. And indeed, this is why he is righteous, is not because he was such a good person in and of himself. Noah believed God. Noah trusted God. He was righteous by faith, the book of Hebrews tells us. He believed what God had said. And so he built the boat. And he and his family, his wife and his sons and their wives, 8 people in all, were saved on that boat and rescued while the unbelieving world was condemned, while God brought judgment upon them. But he saved these 8 through water, 1 Peter points out to us. And then Peter goes on and says that baptism corresponds to this. In other words, that word can be understood, it corresponds, to say that the flood was an advanced presentation, a preview of coming attractions, the trailer for the real thing. It told us what God was going to do in the future to save, that he was going to use water to bring judgment on sin, but to rescue. And so, in baptism, God does bring judgment upon sin, upon our sinful nature. Baptism says that we have a sinful nature. We have sins that need to be drowned and washed away. We are dirty with sin, and we cannot be washed except that God washes us. And then, just as in the flood, the people were brought to a new life, these 8, so too we are brought to new life. But all of this death to our sin and this new life that we are given comes all because of the death of Jesus Christ. See Romans 6. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, then our sins can be buried in baptism because we are united with Christ's death. Because Jesus rose from the dead, so when we rise from baptism, we rise to new life. And we will rise on the last day when Christ comes again. So we are brought to the cross, and the cross is brought to us in our baptism. This is why baptism works, is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And then, when we consider that new life that we are given, we have to consider a few other things. Notice that at the flood, the people who are saved on the boat are separated from the multitude of unbelievers. They are separated from the wicked. And so too, in our baptismal rites, we say that this person, and we pray that this person who is baptized, is separated from the multitude of unbelievers and is kept safe in the holy ark of the Christian church. In other words, we liken the Christian church to the ark of Noah's flood, where we are separated from the multitude of unbelievers and are kept safe in the ark of that Christian church. And so we see that in the flood, we have a preview of what God is going to do, or what God was going to do, and now does, through baptism, through water, to apply what Christ did for us on the cross to us here in time, now. What happened in the first century is brought to the 20th or 21st century for us, where we are buried and we are raised and we are given new life. Baptism now saves. And yes, there are those out there who will say, no, it can't be that this water would save, that God would use this water to save. No, surely it must be that you have to make a commitment. And if that's the case, they'll tell you, you must be old enough to make that commitment. You certainly couldn't be a baby. And in fact, they will tell you, many of whom have been baptized as infants, they will tell you, you need to be rebaptized because you weren't old enough to make a commitment. Well, that's the case if you don't believe that in this God actually does the saving. But if in fact you believe that God does the saving, God does the work, then it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how well developed your rational capabilities are. What matters is the power of God and the promise of God in His Word, that He can come and He can work faith even in infants, even in adults. The faith that lays hold of the promises of baptism, that lays hold of Jesus' cross and resurrection. He gives this faith to infants in baptism so that they do believe. And then He feeds and strengthens that faith through His Word and sacrament. And yes, if those things are taken away, that person can die as a Christian, which is why we continue to teach and instruct our children in the Christian faith. God does indeed save through baptism. He uses this means to bury sin and to raise us to new life. And we as Christians come back to our baptism day after day as we continue to confess our sins and to receive forgiveness. And it's a great comfort to know as we do that, and as we look at our lives and we see the sins that we commit on a daily basis, and we might, if we are trusting in our own works, if we are saying, oh, am I really a Christian? Have I really made my commitment to Jesus? Instead, baptism says to us, well, look, God made His commitment to you. You can look back to that and say, God buried your sins in baptism. And now you're returning to your baptism as you confess your sins, and He is once again back, bringing you back to your baptism, burying you and raising you to new life today. So thanks be to God that God does save through baptism, that He brought us to new life, that He made us new, all because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.